morning, everyone. I am Reverend Tracy. I'm so happy to serve this really generous and great congregation. I want to say hello to everybody who's online this morning as well. And I just want to sing the praises of this congregation as my beginning. You know, I think most of you know we sent out 2,000 letters during the election. And while maybe we didn't all get the outcomes that we wanted, that was still an amazing effort. And I heard we had 50 kids this year on our sharing tree, and they went like that, which just shows the generosity of this congregation. And last night I was at the Snowflake Party, and I need to sing the praises of the Snowflake Party. Where, I mean, mostly people think of a lot of our community events as just for family, people who are actively raising children in this moment. And I just want to say it's a really great time to be with the community in super fun ways. We had the best crafts last night. You could make wreaths and these little tiny ornaments that everybody just adores coloring. Yes? Avery is showing them all for us. Anyway, I really want to commend that. And the people who put it together, it was a lot of work and it was great. So we do so many amazing things here, and so much happens outside of Sunday morning. And you can see those in the slides before service. You can get an e-blast in your mail and a monthly thing that tells you everything that's going on here. And if you're visiting today, I just want to know you are so welcome. And there are little sheets on the back of your chairs, and if you want to get more information about the activities here, you can fill those out and get things sent to your email. I also want to say that after service, yeah, Annie's there showing it, after service, we will have coffee, both online. If you got your order of service online this morning, the link is at the top for coffee hour. And there's coffee and time for conversation after the service. And I just want to let all of you know that you are so welcome here. You are welcome if you think this is the most festive and fun time of the year, or if you feel like it's really lonely and painful, which is two ways people experience the holiday, or as I experience the holiday, if you're feeling kind of rushed and busy and there's so much to do, you are also welcome here. You're welcome no matter who you love, how you express your gender, what your nationalities or languages are. Everyone is welcome. And now we will take time to greet each other. And this morning, the thing that we maybe want to share with each other is something you noticed recently that made you full of wonder, or that you thought was wonderful. And try to speak to maybe two or three people this morning, and try to speak to someone you don't know.
Thank you.
like to invite Avery up to light our chalice this morning. We light the chalice, the symbol of our faith, for all the miracles and wonders of existence. Thich Nhat Hanh told us that the miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth in the present moment. Let us say our affirmation together.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
Oh, there we are. I'm Ashley Ulmer. I'm your lay leader this morning. Great to be here with you. See you all here. Our opening reading this morning for Call to Worship is Look to This Day and was written by the classical Indian poet Kalidasa, who died in 420. Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course, lie all the verities and realities of your existence. The bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of achievement, are but experiences of time. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. And today, well lived, makes yesterday a dream of happiness. And every tomorrow, a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Such is the salutation to the ever new dawn. And now let's sing again, number 55, Dark of Winter.
It's a new one to us, so Betsy's going to play it through.
Home from a long day at school, was walking home from a long day at school, Monkey came across Panda, sitting serenely in a thicket of bamboo. "You always seem so happy and peaceful," said Monkey. "You could say that," said Happy Panda, with a little smile. "What do you do to be happy and peaceful?" "I walk, I work, I read, I eat, I play, and I rest." "I walk, I work, I read, I eat, I play, and I rest too. But I'm not so happy," said Monkey. "That seems true," said Happy Panda as he looked at Monkey. "So, Monkey, what do you think about when you do those things?" "Well," said Monkey. We're going to turn it off and on again. And there it goes. Always the solution to technology problems. "When I walk, I also think about doing chores. When I do chores, I also think about reading. When I read, I also think about eating. When I eat, I also think about playing. When I play, I also think about resting. When I rest, I also think about walking." "Ah," said Happy Panda, "your monkey mind jumps from one thing to another. Always somewhere other than here, to something other than what you're doing right now." "Well, of course it does," said Monkey. "Isn't that what everyone's mind does?" "Well," said Happy Panda, "when I walk, I am just walking. When I work, I am just working. When I read, I am just reading. When I eat, I am just eating. When I play, I am just playing. And when I rest, I am just resting." "True happiness," said Happy Panda gently, "comes from bringing all your attention to whatever you're doing right now. There is no need to think about what happened yesterday. Yesterday's gone, over, done. And there's no need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't here, and today is all around us. Bringing your mind back to this moment, right here, over and over and over again, is called mindfulness." "Oh, I get it," said Monkey. "Mindful, like your mind is full of the present, full of right now. That's definitely how I want to be." And at that very moment, Monkey started to practice mindfulness. How about you? And that is the end of our story this morning. And we will sing our children to their classes.
Good time to be giving thanks. Before our ushers pass the baskets for collection of our offerings this morning, today let's turn our attention in our minds to both what we are grateful for at WWF and also the needs for which we might lean into the WWF community for support. And let's give thanks today with a moment of silence or quiet reflection or even an outspoken word if you're so inclined. ushers can now come. So let us join together in affirmation of this giving.
Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
In the world, so much to be joyful for. The lights of Christmas, the wonderful smells, the beautiful ornaments, and so many other wonders and joys that you shared with one another this morning. But there's also a lot of pain in the world, a lot of suffering and loss. And we like to hold that when we gather on Sunday mornings to remind ourselves that life is full of a balance between joy and pain, and how we hold that in our lives. And if we also hold that in our community. And so this morning, we will have an opportunity to drop a stone for our joys and our pain and suffering. And if you would like to speak in maybe one sentence what your joy and sorrow is, I will have the mic. And if you would like to just drop a stone in silence, that is also welcome. People will come forward down this aisle and around this way and drop their stones here. So you may come forth as you would like.
Places who have been there to support.
The mic is off.
I've had a particularly yucky week. My brother in Canada passed away, and I got in a minor fender bender. So if anybody knows about good body shop, come and see me.
I just wanted to send thoughts to Aven Aksay while she's healing at home.
I'm feeling so thankful for the many helpers who made yesterday's event so special, and especially sending gratitude and healing to Aven.
Friends of a lifetime who both are suffering with cancer.
And I drop one last stone for all the joys and sorrows that remain in our heart, and all the joys and sorrows of people in the larger world. We will now have time for meditation, reflection, and prayer. And this morning, we're going to have a longer practice, mostly focused on mindfulness and meditation, as that is the theme of this service. So Thich Nhat Hanh said, our practice is always to resurrect ourselves, going back to the mind and the body with the help of mindful breathing and walking. This will produce our true presence in the here and now. Then we can become alive again. We will be like dead people, reborn. We are free from the past, and we are free from the future. So we're going to practice. And I just want you to note that sometimes these practices can feel extremely uncomfortable or triggering for some people. So, you know, just go at your own pace and do what feels right for you. So one way to become into the present is to take several deep breaths and noticing the air as it comes in through your nose or mouth and flows through your chest and into your abdomen. And then as it releases, coming up from your abdomen, through your lungs and chest, out your throat, and through your nose and mouth. And so we're going to practice this right now. And I would like everyone to practice three breaths in your own body at your own rate. And I forgot the and. So, we're just going to do this now. I think you have all the information that you need. Hopefully. So another way to come into the present is the 1-2-3-4-5 meditation. And you can do this anytime, and it will bring you into the present moment. So we're going to do it right here. I want you to look around and notice 5 things that you can see. Now notice 4 things you can touch, and that might be the chair that you're sitting in or the clothes against your skin. So notice 5 things you can, 4 things that you can touch. So notice 3 things you can hear, which will be possible even in this quiet room. Now notice 2 things that you can smell. And notice 1 thing that you can taste. Now close your eyes if you wish, or keep them open and with a soft gaze. And we're going to sit a little longer in meditation today than we usually do. And if your mind runs off on some tangent, which it probably will, just return your attention to your breath and let that thought go. And then when the meditation is over, we will just be coming out to meditation on breathing, which is 1009 if you want to use your teal hymnal.
Start with the drone and end with the drone, and in the middle, choose your part.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
Cornfield writes, most of us have spent our lives caught up in plans, expectations, ambitions for the future, or in regrets, guilt, or shame about the past. To come into the present is to stop the war. starry night, starry, starry night. Richard Jones, am I on here? Let me just tell you, I really want to tell you. Starry, Starry Night with Richard Jones on clarinet and Cheyenne Chapman on piano.
Thank you.
What a joy. Thank you so much, Richard and Cheyenne. What a gift. So I have a story for you by Brad Aaron Mudlin. Story about Miss Nelson. Miss Nelson explained how to stand still and listen to the wind, how to find meaning in pumping gas, how peeling potatoes can be a form of prayer. She took questions on how not to feel lost in the dark. After lunch, she distributed worksheets that covered ways to remember your grandfather's voice. Then the class discussed falling asleep without feeling you had forgotten to do something else, something important, and how to believe the house you wake up in is your home. This prompted Miss Nelson to draw a chalkboard diagram detailing how to chant the Psalms during cigarette breaks and how not to squirm for sound when your own thoughts are all you hear. Also, that you have enough. The English lesson was that I am is a complete sentence. And just before the afternoon bell, she made the math equation look easy. The one that proves that hundreds of questions and feeling cold and all those nights spent looking for whatever it was you lost and one person add up to something.
Being in the present moment is one of my favorite places to be. We heard from Jack Kornfield, Buddhist teacher and writer, in our readings this morning. He writes, "Most of us have spent our lives caught up in plans, expectations, ambitions for the future, in regrets, guilt, or shame about the past. To come into the present is to stop the war." To come into the present is to stop the war. What a relief. Because my mind spends a lot of time at war. If only, it says, I had done this instead of that. If only I had said something different. If only I had not reacted out of my pain or my ego. If only I had made a different decision at that critical juncture, then my life would be better or easier or more principled. Or like the monkey in this morning's story, I plan the next thing during whatever I'm doing in the present. I often catch myself planning my day to the point I visually imagine each task. I see myself calling someone, or I imagine exactly what I will say in a difficult conversation. I even imagine the details of doing the laundry. This last is simply insane. At my age, as the mother of four, I am an expert at doing laundry. I do not need to imagine how to do it. But all these thoughts arrive in my mind without my consent. My mind just throws things into my consciousness, hijacking the experience of now. This chattering mind seems to be a feature of being human. It doesn't seem other animals do it, or maybe they do. My cats seem to spend a lot of time reminding me to feed them. Still, we do know it is a definite feature of being human. I am sure evolutionary psychologists tell us a story about why human minds do this. But all of that is speculation. We don't know much about the evolution of why we think or do as we do. How could we? The archaeological evidence is silent about such things. But it probably does have something to do with us helping us learn from our mistakes and plan for the future, all of which are necessary for human survival. But is its constantness really necessary? It is exhausting at best, and at worst runs stories heavy with regret or shame or worries about what people think about us. We can just get weighed down in painful feelings. The same can happen when we plan for the future. At best, this helps us figure out what we want to do, and at worst, it makes us anxious and worried. The present moment simply passes us by in a fog. I love the practice of being present because in that moment, everything is okay. Even when difficult moods rack my body. Without a story of how I or someone else caused those difficult feelings, they are so much easier to carry. In the present, I am in the full moment of existence, and it is the most relaxing, loving place I know to be. As I pay attention, my life slows down and is filled with a vibrant richness. While we don't know when human minds started chattering at us, we do know from fairly early writing that for millennia, people have recognized the ways our monkey minds, as the Buddhists call it, get in the way of a fulfilling and meaningful life. For millennia, people across cultures have been working out ways to bypass our monkey mind and come truly into the present. Today is Bodhi Day, the day that Buddha reached enlightenment. And while most of us don't know that, or if we do, rarely honor this winter holiday, it teaches us something important to remember during the season. Because these holidays, at their deepest, are a time when we are called to remember once again that our highest ideal is a world based on love and care. And we never stop hoping this is possible. That is what the winter holidays teach us. And the Buddhist tradition offers much to support this ideal. It reminds us to slow down and grow our capacity for compassion. The practice of being present is the practice of paying complete attention. In a Zen story, a student said to Master Ichu, "Please write for me something of great wisdom." Master Ichu picked up his brush and wrote one word, attention. The student said, "Is that all?" The master wrote, "Attention, attention." The student became irritable. "That doesn't seem profound or subtle to me." In response, Master Ichu wrote simply, "Attention, attention, attention." In frustration, the student demanded, "What does the word attention mean?" Master Ichu replied, "Attention means attention." When we pay attention, it pulls us into the present and out of our chattering minds. It is both simple and incredibly difficult to do this. And I suspect you noticed that in your short meditation this morning. Our minds just keep throwing thoughts into our consciousness, no matter what we do. In Western societies, there's often a misconception that meditation or other mindfulness practices have the goal of keeping our minds clear of thought. And so many people have told me over the years, I can't meditate or be mindful because I just keep thinking. And they dismiss the practice as not right for them. Well, chattering minds are 100% normal. Minds just do that. And Buddhist teachers actually do not teach the clear mind. Because while most of us may be able to achieve moments where our mind does not speak, especially if we concentrate fully on a project that absolutely engages us, or if we've practiced meditation or mindfulness consistently over time, we could get stretches where our mind does not speak. What Buddhist teachers actually teach is the practice of detaching from those flowing thoughts, to watch them like clouds across the sky without catching them and chewing on them. Often a thought becomes across our minds and we think it's important and we begin to tell a story about it. For example, my thought says, oh, look at that person's face. When I said that, oh my God, Tracy, you were so insensitive. And I begin to chew on that thought even more. Look at you. You were not paying attention. You should have been more kind. Wow, what a stupid thing to do. I could have instead let the thought arise and let it flow away. Or perhaps I might have noticed my breath or a tree in the ground that holds me present on this planet. This doesn't mean I won't try to learn. I might check in with a person about what they were thinking or feeling and then take cues about my response from what they say. Only if I don't get caught up in my own story can I attend to the other person or respond kindly in a way that affirms us both. Living in the present is never going to be a full-time state, nor really should it. We need to learn from the past and plan for the future and make decisions. But being in the present, at least part of the time, gives us the capacity to slow down and respond with our compassion and our values. Ruth King, the author of Mindful of Race, Transforming Racism from the Inside Out, writes about how this place of balance, or equanimity, that she calls it, can come out of being mindful. And I'm going to share an extended quote from her because King explains it so beautifully. Equanimity is awareness so spacious that whatever arises in our mind and heart, whether agreeable or disagreeable, is small and incidental compared to awareness itself. In other words, when we are equanimous, nothing is left out of our heart's view. We might begin to understand equanimity using nature as a metaphor. For example, equanimity can feel internally like a great mountain, with the mind solid and stable, undisturbed by the changing seasons. Or it can be like the ocean, with the mind vast and deep and immeasurable, undisturbed by whatever swims, floats, or is housed in its waters. Equanimity can be like a strong fire, roaring, engulfing, and transmuting, undisturbed by whatever is thrown into it. Or like immense space, open, allowing, and receiving, undisturbed by objects that arise and pass away. End quote. Mindfulness, being present, allows us over time to build equanimity, not to only feel peaceful and end the war in our minds, but to feel centered and able to act from our values. King continues, as we walk through the minefields of social justice and hardship, we may want to call on the strength of these elemental inner resources for balance. For example, there are times when we will need to stand our ground, strong like a mountain, and observe what emerges. And there are times when we may need to add a spark of fiery truth to a situation. Other times we may need to open and allow more space around the tightness of our worries, or let go and be held by an ocean of love. End quote. Learning to be present and eventually achieving balance in our daily lives takes time and practice. However, it makes an important way to make space for us to live our most essential values, which is a goal of Unitarian Universalists. It would have been great to learn how to be present in the fourth grade, as imagined by this morning's poet. Life would offer more ease if we had. It is certainly one of my goals for children in this congregation, because if they learn mindfulness now, they have this useful practice as a resource for their whole lives. And just last week, our elementary students did practice being present in the forest. Their teachers shared how remarkable it was to have them all quiet at the same time, in the forest, paying attention to what was simply around them. The rest of us, though, learn late. The gold standard for learning presence is daily meditation. Even 10 minutes a day can help us notice our tricky minds at work and develop that muscle that allows us to let our thoughts flow and even silence them for a moment. Many other mindfulness practices, however, wrap more than meditation. So there's walking meditations. There's the meditations that we practiced this morning. There's the meditation of paying attention to every footstep we take. There is forest bathing, where we pay attention to the essence of the forest and how it impacts our bodies. We can practice during particular activities, such as the first few bites of food. Just notice them. Or as we're washing our hair, just notice our fingers in our hair and on our scalp, the water flowing over our bodies, or doing the dishes, just being in the moment with the flowing water, watching the mess on our dishes flow away. Being present can also sometimes offer a moment of grace and wonder that allows us to notice things in ways that we do not notice them on a regular basis. And William Blake expressed this in our final hymn. You may stay seated. Our final hymn is 398, See the World in a Grain of Sand. And we're going to sing it through. It's very short. We're going to sing it through a few times.
And it's new, so Betsy is going to play it once for us before we even start singing. Thank you.
you may stand, and the front people turn towards the back, and the back people face forward, and we will sing our final closing hymn, Carry the Flag.
Thank you.